It's always good to be in the house of the Lord, especially with good worship. Let's thank God and the choir one more time, Dr. Newby. If you would turn to the book of Matthew chapter 1, this is our third and hopefully final week of being in the genealogies. Just too much information in there, the rush, amen? I'm excited to be in the book of Matthew, one of the synoptic gospels, looking at Jesus Christ as being the rightful king of the Jews. Thus, we have the beginning of the genealogies. And there has been so much information. And in the midst of all those men begetting men, if you would notice, the title of chapter 1 is Like Father, Like Son, Maybe. See if we can break that maybe today and see if you can break those maybes today. Last week we emphasized a great deal about how you and I will base our decisions on our past, how we was treated or not treated. We will base our relationships with someone new on relationships with someone in the past. And in marriage, how we will make our mates oftentimes pay for what our parents or others did to us. And we need to stop. Now, that's a good word for Christians to know. If you're sinning, just stop. Don't make it complicated. By the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, stop. Quit. Say hasta la vista. See your old lifestyle later. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word. It is a good word. For it is written by you through others. And Lord, I pray that you will help us see in a small way what you want to tell us through all the names and all the history that comes with those names. Father, this is a very important part of the genealogies today, the third section of the 14 generations. I pray you will move me out of the way. And I pray that you will speak to us and we will leave never being the same, because the Bible will prove itself again and again and again to be reliable and to be truthful. Thank you for your servant, for using me to teach others. And Lord, you know my prayers that you will teach me, that others may be taught. In your Son's most holy, precious, glorious name, we all say, praise God. Praise God. All right, chapter 1. Starting off, we've already said, with David and Abraham. For the simple reason, this is to prove to the Jews that Jesus Christ is the truthful king. There's been only two kings that was priest in the history of the Jewish nation. That was Melchizedek and the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to find out today that this is an awesome thing. Now, I believe Melchizedek was Jesus. I don't believe he was just a king. And I have gone through that and written up and studied and talked about that when we went through the book of Genesis. I do not believe that Melchizedek was just a physical man figure. If so, there was a man on earth greater than Jesus Christ. Because when Abraham bowed to Melchizedek, proving that the Levitical priesthood was less than the priesthood of Christ, because Levi was still in the loins of Abraham when he bowed, thus Levi bowed. And if I'm not mistaken, Jesus is Jewish. Can I get a better amen in that? If I'm not mistaken, Jesus is also Jewish. Thus, Jesus was also in the loins of Abraham when he bowed. And if Jesus was in the loins of Abraham when Abraham bowed. Melchizedek is greater than Jesus. And the only way you can have Jesus bowing to anyone is God bowing to God when he submitted to become in the flesh, to die on the cross. Thus God bowed to God to submit to live in the flesh. Thus we have Melchizedek and the Lord Jesus Christ being the perfect example of God bowing to God. Now, if I lose you as we walk through these, because you're gonna have to hold on to your hat today on this third section of 14 generations. Now, remember, if I lose you, just raise your hand. We hadn't even started yet, and hands up. I just gave a little history. So just raise your hand. I slow down, back up, park it for a while, get a U-Haul, and try to bring you along with me. Is that all right? All right, because this third aspect of one of the greatest apologetics in all the scriptures is in the third section of 14s. There are three sections of 14s in the genealogy. The first 14 is from Abraham to David. That's what we've already read. The second 14 is from Solomon to Jeconiah. Then it says they go into the captivity at Babylon, and from Babylon to Christ is 14 generations. You also have to understand that as we're going through the begats, and he begat, and he begat, and he begat, they are not always sons. Some are grandsons, some are great-great-grandsons. But what the writer here in Matthew was doing was narrowing down the process, and he eliminated a lot of the bad kings. He didn't even put them in the genealogy. So there may be he begot this son, and then he begot he, meaning that it could be a grandson or great-grandson. Okay? So just to make sure that all the critics who's always jumping on the Bible, who's saying that that is not right, and we got a great one today as we get through getting ready for the third 14. So let's read the first two 14 generations. And we are going to eliminate the counting that most theologians and scholars use, because I think they're wrong. All right? I am not the smartest man in the world, but I do not take someone who say they're smart word just because they say it. You should not take my word just because I say it. You should go and test it with the scriptures. And if the scripture is right and I am wrong, then who must go? Oh, don't talk like that. Thought we was tight in this church. You're absolutely right. The black man's got to exit. Amen. Because the black word is more important than the black man. And the white page. Self-explanatory.
That's right.
All right. Are we having fun yet?
Yep.
The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Starting with Abraham, verse 2. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. And Judah begot Perez and Zerah of Tamar. Remember we talked about Tamar? We proved last week that not perfect people is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, there's some serious liars and sinners. Only difference is they're repenters. Can I hear you? Tamar is one of the first people who produces two sons that sets up the stage through all the Bible for you to understand that it is the second birth where the blessing comes in. Not the firstborn. If you look at all the scriptures in the Bible, every second child, even in twins, even in aspects of just children, the blessing of the Lord, the inheritance of Christ, the lineage came to the second birth. When Tamar had twins, remember that? Tamar had twins by her father-in-law. We talked about that last week. If you missed that, get the tape. She had twins, Perez and Zerah. Guess what? When she was in labor, and they gave that a great name. Amen, ladies. Construction labor. When she was in construction labor. Now, men, let me give you guys a little sensitivity lesson. Because I'm a very sensitive man. A lady once said, "Men, do you know what it feels like to have a baby?" And all the men said, "No," and proud of it. She said, "Let me give you a little example of what it means and how it feels to have a child." She said, "I want you men to take your bottom lip, put it between your teeth, and bite. Are you hurting? Yes. Bite harder. Are you hurting now? Yes. Bite harder until you bleed. Bite." And the guy goes, "Oh, I'm pain and I'm bleeding." She says, "Okay, now take your top lip and stretch it over your head." Amen. You may have a small feeling what it is to have children. Well, Tamar was in that process of lip biting. One of the twins stuck their hand out. The blessing, as far as the Jews was concerned, always goes to the firstborn. Can't hear you. The twin stuck his hand out. It was Zerah. They put a cord around the hand to prove that he would be the firstborn. And once they tied the cord on it, he pulled his hand back in. And then Perez came out before Zerah, even though Zerah was the first. So who got the blessing in the line of Christ? The second born. You, when you're first born, do you get the blessing of God, or do you get it when you are born again? You don't get the blessing of Christ until you are born again. The second birth. All the way through the Bible with the twins, Esau and Jacob. Everything goes to the second born. That's why you and I, as we push in this church, must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You do not get your spiritual birth until your second born again experience. Go to that. This alone ought to allow me to close the scriptures. Everybody in here should understand now why you must be born again. Because if you're not born again, you don't get the lineage of Christ and eternity with him. Just a little sidelight that I want to throw that out, just in case you didn't know. Can I get an amen on that? Okay, we're really flowing there. And Tamar begat Zerah and Perez, and Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Amminadab. Amminadab begat Nashon. Nashon begat Salmon. Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Notice she was a harlot. Get the tape. Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. We knew that she was not a Jewish. She was a Moabite, a person and of a people that was cursed by God. But because she made the Israeli God her God, she was brought into the kingdom as being one of his. And we have established that it is nothing to be different cultured as long as you are both believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes you a same people. Not color. Not texture of hair. Of the absence thereof. And don't be laughing. I shave mine. But some of you out there got some real thin heads that you are flipping hair 4 or 5 times. To try to cover it up. Go ahead and be proud of your baldness. Amen. Cut them long locks off that when you go to bed at night, it hangs down to your knees. Cut them off. Be a man. Some of you got so little hair you can blow dry it with a flashlight. Come on. Let's... Just be a man. Wear that bald head with proudness. I got a couple Filipino brothers. jealous of. You see Filipino hair, straight, black, thick. Very seldom you see a bald-headed Filipino man. What's up, God? I asked God, I have a brother walk by me sometime. I said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God, give me a head of hair just like that. But until then, I'm going to be smooth. More ways than one. Woo! Ruth. And Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David, the king, and David, the king, begot Solomon, of her that had been the wife of Uriah. We talked about Bathsheba. Her. She was something else. And David ended up having her husband killed. And then they lost a son. And then God came back because of his repentant heart. And through the same woman gave him Solomon, the next king. Repentance is an amazing truth of what God can do with you. To simply repent turns your whole destiny and your whole view with God to being usable again. Now, the consequences of sin is you're going to have to defend that sin a lot of times for the rest of your life. So the best thing to do is to stay under the power of the Holy Spirit and not sin in the first place. Oh, come on, church.
Amen.
All right, here we go. We having fun yet?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we having fun. All right, let's roll. And Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah. And Abijah begot Asa. Asa, one of the kings, one of the good kings. And Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram. Joram begot Uzziah. And Uzziah begot Jotham. And Jotham begot Ahaz. And Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah made a mistake of asking God to let him live longer. I wish we had time to talk about that a little bit. We got a lot of information. We got to go in the 3rd, 14. From Abraham to David, first 14 generations. From Solomon down to Jeconiah, we're going to see it's the second 14 generations. But Hezekiah was dying. And he asked God to give him some more time. Worst thing ever happened. Sin again entered the camp. Let me give you a secret. When God wants to move, and when God wants to take your life, there's nothing sad about it. The saddest part is for those that are left behind. But personally, you and I, as believers, are the only ones that can afford to quit breathing. We pray that everyone else keeps on breathing until they can meet the Lord. But for me and my house, it's all good. Can't hear you. And you'll never know that till you face death. God is sufficient. I'll tell you about it someday. Verse 10, and Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Ammon. And Ammon begot Josiah. And Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brethren. About the time they were carried away to Babylon. Now, folks, if you're just reading genealogies, you would miss one of the most important aspects of the third 14 generations that could ever be told in the apologetical truths of the scriptures. Why do you think God would emphasize that they was taken away after the 28th generation to Babylon? One thing it proves, and it wasn't proven until 1948, that God's promise to Abraham and to his people, and through the prophet Jeremiah, that he was going to scatter the people, but he's going to be one of the few people that was ever conquered, scattered, sent away, that would live through all of that and become a nation again. God's promise of the Babylonian captivity, until 1948 of the year 2000. I should say of the year 48. God fulfilled his promise that he made in Jeremiah. Now, there's another great contradiction here if you don't know anything. And that is, Jeconiah does not stop at Jeconiah. What is the next name in the scriptures when it says, and Jeconiah did what? We got Shealtiel. Verse 12, after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begat Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begat Zerubbabel. There is a problem because there was a curse in the book of Jeremiah. If you don't understand scripture, the critic jumps on this. And Jeconiah being cursed is the only reason and the only way that a virgin birth must be in the lineage. I can see y'all going around, oh yes, Pastor, keep on preaching, baby. I understand, and even if I don't, I'm going to look like I do and not raise my hand. Can't hear you. Okay, here we go. Watch this. I'm going to read all 14 generations, and then we're going to go back and explain why God emphasized the Babylonian captivity and the break in Jeconiah. Because scripture, when we go over there, you probably won't recognize the name Jeconiah because he was known as someone else in the scripture. And, you know, if you don't have nothing to do, you can read the scriptures and study this stuff and come up with stuff that no one else want to deal with. But boy, is it good if you spend time on the boring aspects of the scriptures. And Zerubbabel, verse 13, begat Abiud. And Abiud begat Eliakim. And Eliakim begat Azor. And Azor begat Sadok. And Sadok begat Akim. And Akim begat Eliud. And Eliud begat Eleazar. And Eleazar begat Mathan. And Mathan begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now, anytime the Bible starts giving you that kind of emphasis, it is because it wants you to understand that special spiritual emphasis. And I went through and read it. Even with Jewish counting, you can't come up with 14 generations. If you try to do it the way the scholars say you should do it. From Abraham to David is 14 generations. Then it says David, his name is used again if you start on the 14, the second 14. But if you use David's name down to Jeconiah, there's 15 generations. So you can't count David in the second 14. Is everyone with me on this? Because if you use David, you end up with how many in the second? 15. Thus, we have established, going from the first 14 to the second 14, how we should count and what name we should start in the next 14. Talk to the pastor. You understand? So you leave David in the first 14, starts with Solomon, and end up with Jeconiah. You have how many? 14. Thus, since we have established how to go from the first to the second to get the Bible correct, you got to go from the second to the third using the same policy. Can I get a witness? So we wouldn't start the third 14 with who? We would start with, I said we wouldn't start
not who we will start. Listen to the pastor. So we can't start the third 14 with Zechariah. We have to start with Zechariah's son, which is Shealtiel, which is a Bible contradiction if you read the curse. There's a problem here, so you got to do a little study. But there's another problem. Anyone want to hear the other problem? If you start with Shealtiel, the son of Zechariah, and count them, you only get 13 generations. So do we remove our logic? Or do we know that the Bible has a truth to it that you and I are not understanding? There's a truth here. So I went back and I studied. Oh, so hard. Because the Bible does not contradict itself, and I was not going to accept their counting practices. I knew there had to be a truth to it. So you go to a parallel time of the generation where there is a problem. Amen? So I went to the parallel time, and I came up with more problems. Would you like to see another problem? Okay. Are we having fun yet? This is biblical history with an accent. Okay? Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 22. And my Bible's page 793. Scofield, King James, Revised, Oxford, 1811. Same one that Jesus used. Oh, excuse me. At least that's what Joseph Smith said. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 24. As I live, saith the Lord. Says who?
The Lord.
As I live, saith the Lord, though Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim. Ooh. We got a problem. Who is Coniah? If you put a J-E in front of Coniah, you get Jeconiah. The son of Jehoiakim, translated in some Bibles, it doesn't say Coniah, does it? Some translation has his other name, Jehoiakim, the son of Jehoiakim. Now, how would you like to be in the family line trying to give names at a birthday party? Now you're saying, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? I am saying that this is some serious stuff that you and I need to understand, that the Bible always is the best commentary on the Bible, not what someone else says. Are you ready to hold on to your hat, my good friends? Hold on to your hats. As I live, said the Lord, though Coniah or Jeconiah or Jehoiakim, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee from there. And I will give thee into the hands of those who seek thy life, and into the hands of those who face thy fury, even unto the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. Woo! When we was in Revelation, you remember that world power? Nebuchadnezzar. Can I get an amen over here? Come on, y'all. So if you missed Revelation, I'm sorry. It's only about 250 tapes. You ought to get them and catch up. Even into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. Is this not a parallel time to Matthew chapter 1, where the Babylonian captivity takes place? Here is God's judgment on Jeconiah, known as Jehoiakim, the son of Jehoiakim, which God is going to give a curse to, which makes it without a probability that there must be a virgin birth in the lineage of David. Let me explain it to you. Everyone with me so far? I'm not going too fast, right? Okay, watch this.
And I will cast thee out and thy mother who bore thee into another country where you were not born, and there shall ye die. But to the land to which they desire to return, there shall they not return. Is this man Coniah, Jeconiah, Jehoiakim, a despised broken idol? Is he a vessel in which is no pleasure? Why are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into a land which they do not know? God says, I have cursed all of your seed. Jeconiah. It's going to get worse. Are you holding on? Check this out. On earth, 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 hear the words of the Lord. Verse 30. Thus saith the Lord, write this man childless, a man that will not prosper in his days, for no man of his lineage or his seed shall prosper, neither any of his seed shall sit on the throne of David and rule any more in Judah. Anyone tell me what that Bible just said? What did the Bible just say? None of your seed, Jeconiah, Jehoiakim, is cursed. The Bible calls it childless, but what it means is not that he won't have any children, but none of his children will ever be in the place they were and is high, and none of his children will ever sit on the throne of God. So we have a problem. How through the kingly lineage, when it is cursed at Jehoiakim, can ever again a descendant of Jeconiah sit on the throne of God? Go with me to Matthew, please. See, this is one of the questions and problems my Jewish friends that I talk to can't answer. How can you ever have a king through the kingly lineage sit on the throne of God when at Jehoiakim that lineage was cursed by God? Not one rabbi has ever been able to answer. That's why they know and why they fight so much for the land, because now the land has become their Messiah. And when the United States and other stupid countries run around trying to tell them to have peace and give up their Messiah called the land, and some Jews have tried to go against Scripture and do it, you know why there will never be peace in the Middle East. Would anyone who asked you to give up your Messiah, give up Jesus for peace, would you do it? Even if you are mistaken about who your Messiah is. We in America need to understand Scripture, and then we won't ask for that kind of peace. We'll ask for that kind of righteousness, because the only way there's going to be peace between the Jew and the Arab, Palestinian, and any other country over there is for all of them to become under Scripture and accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way I'm going to have peace with anyone of Islamic belief is either they're going to convert me or I'm going to convert them. Amen. Other than that, we have no peace together. Amen. We are opposite poles of the spectrum, trying to get the same land and deal with it through different messiahs. Woo! Is this good stuff? Some of you are going, but you're not raising your hand. So let me see if I can break it down for you. Here we go. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel. You start counting at Shealtiel, and you can only get 14 generations out of the third 14 if you count Mary. Can't hear you. And why is it so important to count Mary? I will tell you why. Because without Mary in the Jewish line, there will be no Christ. There will be no king that could be king and priest sitting on the throne with being king and priest at the same time unless there is a virgin birth. And now you say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. How can that be? How can Jesus be born of Mary and still be Jewish and not have sin? I will tell you why. Because the seed was broken and sin follows through the man's seed, not through the woman. There's no sin through the woman's egg. Sin was passed down by God through the man's seed. So when Mary naturally had the egg, the Holy Spirit stepped in with the sperm of heaven, boom, impregnated her miraculously, and then the lineage of Zechariah was started again without his seed. God is awesome. Can I get a witness? If you understand that, then you just got the greatest historical, apologetical truth in all the world. And the average Jewish person who's looking for evidence will have to understand that the only way they're going to be a Messiah after the curse of Jehoiakim is virgin birth. Check this out. That's why we got this. Verse 15, and Eliud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Matthan, and Matthan begat Jacob. Jacob begat Joseph, break of all the begats. He begat he, and he begat he, and he begat he, and he begat he, and he begat he. For how many generations do we hear this? How many altogether? 3 times 14 is 42. For 40 generations in Matthew, you hear he begat he and he begat he until you get to the 40th generation where it says, and he begat Joseph, number 40. Who married Mary, just like the other four times you see a woman. But then it says, and Mary begot Jesus. Woo! Joseph had nothing to do with it. How you like them apples? Isn't it great to know, ladies, that sin entered the world through a woman, and so did the Savior. And man had nothing diddly squatty to do with it. He was out trying to kill something. Break something. Or come up with excuses why he wasn't there when it happened. Oh! I can just see you guys are so excited right now, you're just dumbfounded with information. I want to show you something that's amazing to me as we close today. We close the sermon today. We got other things we have to do. Look at verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ, 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this way. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, a righteous man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Isn't it amazing that in the whole aspects of the lineage of Christ and aligning all those generations up, the first real problem that he's going to deal with is the issue of divorce. We're going to get into that. I got some obligations, and we got to take a break a little bit, but we're going to get into that seriously when we go to the next section of the Bible, because I believe, as I said, the next great horror of the church is believing as believers into in divorce. And I'm not really concerned about hurting anybody's feelings when we get involved in this truth, because Matthew is used more often, and I believe wrongly, to justify divorce. And I want to give you a little secret. It's not a marriage ever that's broken up because of adultery. Not one. What has happened is you had a miserable marriage before adultery, and adultery gave you the excuse to get out of it. I'm going to tell you like I think it is. When we get into the scriptures here, proving that Bible teachers and preachers all over this world is using wrong verses to justify people getting out of marriage. And it's going to be nasty, my friends, because there's a truth in the book of Matthew you can't find in another gospel. So if you don't want to hear the truth, you better not come back. Go find a church that will find the scriptures and make it convenient for you to feel good about not doing something God's way. I can't hear you, church.